Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I have a question for all of you, and yes, I actually want you to respond to this. Raise of hands, how many of you have read through a book twice? Same book twice. Raise your hands. Oh my goodness, that is much more than I anticipated. One, yay, good for you being very nice and literate and reading all of this. If I can have a brave volunteer, what was that book that you read twice? Yes. Yeah, very nice. One other book. The Bible. Also, always a good one. Always a good one to read more than once, hopefully. Yep. The Power of Positive Thinking. That's a good one as well. A lot of books that we like to read to go over, kind of helping us in some way. For the past couple of months, trying to get my son to sleep, I've been actually reading The Hobbit again. There's two things that I've learned, because I've learned the more you read a book, and the more you read it maybe once or twice, the more you get to kind of understand more the characters. You get to learn new things as you read it. I've learned two new things about reading the J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit now as I'm older. The first one is that he had an unhealthy obsession with breakfast food. I'm serious. Don't read Tolkien on an empty stomach. When he describes bacon and bread and beer, it's not good for an empty stomach, let me tell you. But what I've also noticed is that even though the main character, Bilbo Baggins, starts as a frightened, timid little man, he doesn't really change. Yes, he gets braver as time goes on, but he never loses that kind of scaredness, that kind of timidness. But he overcomes that as the book goes on. And that's wonderful to see that there's that kind of struggle of having being scared and not knowing what's going to happen, but still you sum up your courage and you go forth and you do it. Today we have a very special opportunity. It's an opportunity to look at another story. And we get to see it from two different perspectives. We've heard it, actually, the story of Christ's ascension, told from the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. And what a joy it is, and what a rare opportunity, that we get to have the same story told by the same author twice. Luke ends his Gospel with the ascension of Christ, but he begins the Acts of his Apostles with the ascension of Christ. It kind of is kind of weird. When you read the Gospel of Luke, you're supposed to go right to the Acts of the Apostles. Both of them were written for a man named Theophilus, which is basically a just nice name and a proper name to say lover of God. There have been kind of debates about who this is over the years, but for us, we can also attribute it to us. We love God. And so this gospel is for us. Luke took all of the eyewitness accounts and the interviews and put them in his gospel. And for his Acts of the Apostles, much the same way, though adding more of himself into it since he was with Paul on his missionary journeys. But he begins, and we hear from the gospel, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is a miraculous event. The voice of Christ in Luke ends his gospel beautifully. The disciples are there in a room, huddled together, but still Christ comes to them. He says that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. He breathed on them. Receive the Spirit. Open your mind to the Scriptures. Go and forgive the sins of all, starting in Jerusalem, but then going out into the world, to Samaria, to Judea, and finally to the rest of the nations. And then he led them up to a hill right beside Bethany. He led them up and he blessed them one more time, and he was taken up into heaven. And then the disciples went down from that mountain, praising God and singing his blessings in the temple courts. Can you imagine a better end to a story? It's a happy ending. It's a wonderful ending for Luke's gospel, because his entire gospel, as we learn in Acts, was to record all the works of Jesus Christ and to see how Jesus goes on his mission in the world. And he says in the beginning, O dear Theophilus, these things are written about Jesus, about his acts, so that you know them. And we do. And so Luke ends his gospel with the final work of Jesus as his ministry on earth, blessing his disciples and opening their mind to their scriptures. It's a wonderful, wonderful end. But that's only the first part of the story. Right after, you can read and go right into what Acts 1, 1 through 11 says. This time, it paints a little bit of a different picture. Same story, same characters. But notice the difference. Maybe you can find something different yourself. Jesus goes out into the world, and he goes to his disciples. He says very much the same things that he says in the beginning of the end of Luke's gospel. He says that authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. He says to go and forgive the sins, but wait in Jerusalem so that you receive the promised helper, the Holy Spirit. Okay, sounds good. We're on the same page. But then they get to the hill. In Luke's gospel, it's very quick, maybe 2 to 3 verses. Here in Acts, things go a bit differently. Instead of the disciples being silent and receiving a blessing, they actually ask Jesus a question. After Jesus opened their mind to the scriptures, after they have seen the wondrous works of Christ risen from the dead for 40 days, the disciples come together on this hill and ask Jesus, "When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And I just kind of want to facepalm at this point. They're still going on about this. They're still wanting to understand why Jesus hasn't made Israel great again. Why hasn't Jesus made them kings over the people? Why isn't Jesus doing something about the Roman government? Why isn't Jesus doing things to help the kingdom here on earth? So, it's been 40 days, Jesus. You've been raised from the dead. When are you going to get on that? How long are we going to have to wait? It's kind of an embarrassing start to a book. You see, one hand, the disciples are being blessed. Their minds are open to the scriptures. And on the other hand, you now see them still asking the same question that they have always asked, and Jesus has given them the same answer. And Jesus gives them the same answer. It is not for you to know the time or the plans that my Father has given, but what you are to do is to go and forgive the sins of many, just as you have been forgiven. Stay in Jerusalem, and there this forgiveness of sins will start and will spread out into the entire world. And so, very much like the other story that Luke has for us, Jesus, in the middle of almost saying all of this, rises up and goes into the clouds and ascends to heaven. And the disciples just look up for a long, long time. We don't know exactly how long the disciples were looking up, but apparently it was so long that Jesus had to send angels down to them. And he had to send, the disciples are holding up their heads, looking for Christ to come back down, kind of like, are you going to finish what you said? So the angels from the Lord came down and said, "Why are you staring up? Don't you see that Christ has ascended and he will come back in the same way? Go into Jerusalem and do as you were commanded to do." And the disciples went then into Jerusalem to wait the promised helper, the Holy Spirit. This tale of two ascensions marks some very big differences. On the one hand, we see the glorious finish of Christ's ministry. And on the other hand, we have the disciples now wondering what to do next. In one, we have the disciples going off and praising God in the temples. And in the other, we have the disciples returning to their homes, awaiting to do what is next, actually going and choosing the replacement now for Judas, who will be Matthias, by casting lots. This tale of two ascensions is very different. It makes us think, because here we are caught in it. We are caught in this time of waiting, this time of wanting to know what is going to happen next. For the disciples, they had 40 days with Jesus, risen from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and they still had questions. Their minds were open to the scriptures, just as you and I, our minds have been opened up. But we still have questions. We still want answers. And we're still looking up, wondering, when is he coming come back? It's been 2,000 years, roughly, since Christ had ascended into heaven. And still we are here waiting. There are many of us who are still seated there on a hill, waiting for when Christ comes back. Just waiting, when are you going to fix everything? When are you going to come down and answer what I have to ask? When are you going to come back so we can at least make this world a livable place? When? And then we're caught here in the middle. Are we, like the disciples of old, just watching the skies, waiting for Christ? He says to wait and be patient, but how long do we have to wait? How long do we have to be here? How long do we have to do the work? It can get tiring. It can get repetitive. It can get stagnant. How long, O Lord? And then we remember what Christ did. Oddly enough, it goes back to what Christ did both in the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. You see, what was the most thorough line that was in there was Christ blessing his disciples. It was Christ being there for his disciples. He didn't just do it once when in Luke, but he did it twice. First, when he opened their minds to the Spirit of God and the scriptures. And the second is when he blessed them before going up into heaven. And even in the Acts of the Apostles, that first chapter where the disciples ask the question, how long must we wait? Jesus doesn't rebuke them in a harsh way, but admonishes them and teaches them and says to them that you are still my children. You are still my disciples. I will always be with you. It is not your time to know when I will come back, as the same way that I have been ascended to. But I'm with you. I promise to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. I promise that you are not alone in this. I have given you a mission to do while you wait. The mission is the same that he says both in Luke and in Acts. Go into the world. Go and forgive the people's sins, just as I have forgiven you. Go into the world and forgive them of their trespasses. Go into the world and teach them everything that I have commanded you. Go into the world and do the work that I have done, that I have laid the groundwork for. My time on earth is over. My ministry is done. The work has been fulfilled, for all have been reconciled to me upon the cross. All have come and seen my broken body, my blood shed, and that is for the forgiveness of their sins. You have seen my resurrection. You have heard about my mighty deeds and the promise that I will send you the Holy Spirit so that you may be filled with wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that you may go with the purpose to forgive people their sins. This is the tale of two ascensions. The same Christ, the same disciples, the same message. To go and to do Christ's work as we wait. To remember that we are the forgiven people of God, baptized in his name, given the Holy Spirit, the same helper that was with the disciples, And with it, we go and do the same work. Forgive people their sins, teaching them all that Christ has taught us. Christ has given us the power to do this and has sustained us in this wonderful gift. He has given us his body and blood to nourish us, to keep us filled as we go out into the world. He's given us the scriptures, opened our minds to them so that we may be fed and nourished and give out this same bread of life to the people all around us. Yes, to those who don't agree with us. Yes, to those who hold different opinions than us. And even, yes, to our enemies. We are to pray for them. We are to minister to them. We are to love them. We are to forgive them. It's been a long time. It's been a very long time since Christ has ascended. And we are still looking up. Yes, we are doing the work, but we are still waiting his time to come down again. But we wait in hope. We wait with purpose. We wait with the sure knowledge of our Savior's forgiveness and the sure knowledge that he does and will come again. We pray, come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.